Hi, my name is Andrew Connell, and in this brief video, I'm going to walk you through the Office 365 Development Patterns and Practices sample core.modify pages. In an effort to help customers address the most impactful and useful scenarios, the Office 365 Development Patterns and Practices group has created a number of code samples that complete common customer scenarios. The code is published in a public GitHub repository located at https://github.com/officedev/PNP, and it contains solution packs of content as well as sample packs of sample code that has been reviewed by the Office 365 team and blessed as a recommended way to approach these different scenarios. This sample demonstrates two basic techniques for provisioning wiki pages: creating a wiki page in a wiki page library, and then manipulating it. It uses the site pages library, which is the default available in non-publishing sites, but the same sample can easily be adapted to create pages in a custom wiki page library. In the last step, the empty wiki page is filled with HTML content. In the sample, you can specify your HTML content and then click the Run Scenario button to create the wiki page and add the HTML, as I'll show you. Let's see the sample in action. Before we dive in and take a look at the code, why don't we take a look at how this application looks when it's deployed and working. What I've done is I've opened up the solution for the core.modify pages sample, and I changed the start URL to point on the SharePoint app project to point to my SharePoint developer site in Office 365. I'll just go ahead and click start to create the app, deploy it, and install it. First, we'll go ahead and trust the app. And what SharePoint's going to do is it's going to take me to the start page for the app, which happens to be my remote web. All right, here we go. So modify pages. Here's some HTML that I can add to the project. So I can say, we'll change this to PNP. There's the wiki page manipulation. So I can say, add this to a page with HTML. So if I click this, what the app should have done is create the page inside of the host web. So let's see if we can take a look at this. I'll just open this up in a new tab and click over, and there we go. We see the text that we just put in inside the page. You can see it was put inside the site pages library. So if I come over, if I find the site pages library, we should see the file that we just created. And there it is right there. Now, if I scroll down a little bit, we can say, how about creating a new page with a specific page layout and an out-of-the-box web part? This one's going to be a much more complicated sample that we'll look at when we get to the code. But for now, just click the button and let it create the page. And let's go take a look at the page that was just created. And sure enough, now we can see a page that's got the same HTML content we put in there, but now it also has a web part that's been added to it for the different links. Let's take a look and see what this looks like. I'm going to go ahead and close the browser, and we'll stop the project. So what we first see, this is a provider-hosted app that's pointing to the default page inside of the web project that we have inside this solution. If we look at the permissions, we can see that we've given our application full control over the host web. That we need to go create new files. So let's go take a look at this, at the default page. The default.aspx, really nothing fancy here. We just have like a text box and a button for creating the item, for creating the new page, as you see right here. And if I scroll down a little bit farther, again, I have a button and a hyperlink down here. Oh, sorry, a button to create the page with a web part. All the real work here is going to happen inside of the code behind. So let's take a look at that. Now, there's a lot of work that's going to be done here. We're going to be poking through a lot of code because there's a considerable amount of work when you're adding a web part to a web page. The first one is not that complex. I'm going to go ahead and skip past the page pre-init and the page load functions because all they're really doing is just initializing in some stock code that we get when we create a new web project for a SharePoint provider app. So the first button maps to the method called button create page click. So after getting a client object model, client context, what I'm then going to do is build up and the URL for the page that we're going to create. So you see here on line 61, is I'm creating a new file called scenario 1 with the number with the current ticks for the current time, .aspx, and then I'm getting a full URL over to the actual item that we're going to create. So you see here that this is actually calling a method called addWikiPage. I'm passing in the client context. I'm passing in the current site that we want to do this to. I'm passing in the list that I want to create the site, the page within, and then I'm passing in the URL of the new page. So let's take a look at that method. So add wiki to a page. What we're going to do is first, I'm going to get a reference to the page library. Then I'm going to get a reference to the file that we want to create using the current SharePoint site and say get file by server relative URL, passing in the full URL that we found. Once I've done that, I'm then going to go try and create the page. The way I'm going to do that is by going into the page library, his root folder property, looking at the files collection, and then calling the add template file method. I'm passing in the URL of the new file that I want to create, and then I'm also specifying that I want this to be a wiki page. That's going to give me a reference to the file that's created. Then I'm going to actually create the file, and then I'm going to pass back the URL to the page that we just created. Now, if I go back to this first call here, the event handler for my button, after the page was created, I then called a method called addHTML to wiki page. Again, passing in all the same stuff, except I'm also passing in the text property of that input control that we able to, that allowed me to type in some HTML. So how are we adding HTML to the wiki page? Well, the first thing we're going to do here is we're going to get a reference to the page library, and then I'm actually going to go find the page itself inside that library that we were looking for. Assuming that I find the page, I'm then going to say, go get a reference to all of the item fields on the page for the current page that we're looking at. So here, there's a field called wiki field, and that's an HTML field, a rich text field. What I'm then going to do is I'm going to get a reference to the actual list item for the all the fields, and I'm specifying the wiki field field for this list item to contain the HTML that was entered in. Once I save these changes, we'll see the HTML that gets added to the page, and we saw that just a moment ago. So that's all pretty easy to go through and add HTML to a page. We first have to go create the page, then we get a reference to it and add the data to it. But let me go down to one that's a little more complicated. Let's create a page with a wiki with a web part on it. So we've already seen how to go create a wiki page and how to add HTML to it. So I'm going to ignore that part of this method of this process because that's what's actually being created. The first thing I'm going to do here is I'm going to go get a reference to a SharePoint list. So here I'm getting a reference to a list. I'm creating a list here, passing in the template that I want to use, 170. And then I'm also passing in a GUID for the ID for the list, and the list name is going to be called links. Then I'm adding in two links to that list. So this lab helper is a class that's included inside of this solution that you'll see right here, lab helper. I'm not going to spend time really looking at that because all it's doing is adding items to a SharePoint list. I'm then going through and I'm going to create the page using the same process we saw a moment ago, and then also add the HTML to the page as well. Now we have to add the web part to the page. What we have is this object here called a web part entity. This is just a plain old CLR object, also referred to as a POCO or just a property bag. It's just something that's going to have some properties on it that I can set. One of the properties that I can set on it is the web part XML. When you add web parts to a web page in SharePoint, what SharePoint's actually doing is it's putting a block of XML into a web part zone for you. Then when the web part rendering engine finds that web part zone, it looks at all the XML inside that zone, and the XML tells the web part engine, it says, go create an instance of this object, which is a specific kind of a web part. Go set these properties and add it to the controls collection so when the page gets rendered, the web part actually gets executed. We need to get that XML. I'll show you that in just a moment. But after we get that XML, I'm going to set the index of the web part to be 1. So I want it to be the first one, or this, there's also an option for 0 there. But that's the position of where it should show up inside of the web part zone it's being added to. And also the title. We saw links as the title a minute ago. And then this last piece here is adding the web part to the wiki page. So we'll see how to go create this web part in just a second, specifically to get this XML. But then what we're doing is we're going to add the web part to the page. And you see, if I scroll over just a little bit, I'm passing in the web part into the page. So let's take a look at this method here of this WP promoted links and then adding the web part to the wiki page. I'm passing a bunch of parameters in here, but let's go to the actual code and see the implementation for this. Okay, here are the promoted links, and it gives us a list of all the parameters it's expecting. What's the list ID? What's the list URL? What's the page URL? And what's the title of the web part? What this is the block of XML that usually gets added to a page whenever you add a web part to the page. You can see here the web part that's being added is the XSLT list view web part. Because if you recall, what happened was when I clicked the button is it created a list, it then added two items to that list. And now what I'm doing is I'm simply adding the list view web part to the page. So I get a reference to the XSLT list view web part. And then the important thing that I want to show you, or that's interesting to pay attention to here, is where I'm passing in a property for the ID of the list. So there's the list ID I'm passing in. That is, you can see here, I'm passing in the ID right here as a parameter. And then I'm also passing in the title URL of the list. And then if I scroll down a little bit farther, you can see I'm passing in the name of the list. And then I'm also passing in the title that I want to use for the list as well. If I scroll down a little bit farther here, what you see here is that once it then goes through and builds up this whole XML structure, it then returns that structure back to the caller. So that's the string of XML that's going to go inside of that little web part property bag that I showed you a moment ago. Once I have that, I then wanted to add the web part to a wiki page. I'm going to pass in a bunch of parameters. The important part right that we want to see is the web part right here that's being added in. So what I'm going to do first is get a reference to the pages library inside of my SharePoint site where the wiki page lives. And then I'm going to find the actual page that we're looking to add the web part to. Similar to what you saw just a few minutes ago, where I got a reference to all of the list item fields, I'm trying to find the wiki field. That's where the bulk of the rich text can go on a wiki page. Now, to add a web part to a page and do it through code, what you have to do is get an instance of this thing called the Limited Web Part Manager. So what I'm doing is I'm getting a reference to the Limited Web Part Manager, and I'm saying I want to grab it for the shared scope. That's the view that everyone would see on the page. As you may know, SharePoint also allows for personal scope, so I can switch a page to personal view and customize it to my liking. Then what I'm going to do is I'm going to say import the web part into the Limited Web Part Manager, passing in the XML that we created a moment ago. That's the web part definition. I'm then going to add the web part using the Limited Web Part Manager, passing in the web part definition into a specific zone. The zone is just WPZ0, and I want it to go in the first sequence, in the first spot. You see here, it gives me a reference back to the actual definition of the web part that was created. I say I want to load that and then save my changes. And again, to get the code for all of the Office 365 Developer Patterns and Practices group, make sure you go to GitHub at github.com/officedev/PMP. If you want to discuss these different samples, ask questions, and interact with the team, they have a dedicated group in the Office 365 technical network in Yammer. Just go to yammer.com/ITProNetwork and look for the group called O365 Dev Patterns and Practices.